So to start with, just a couple of announcements that as we have a little bit of rain and it's a little bit colder, maybe the groups will happen indoors. Like if it feels a bit wet, we'll transition to that. So it's written on the notice board where the where those groups will happen if they need to shift to being indoors. And also feel free, if it's raining, to do the walking inside the classrooms. I don't know which classrooms those are. Number 11, 12, and number 2 for the walking, in the walking periods, unless there's a group happening there. So 11 and 12 will be used for the groups. All right, so apologies if you end up getting wet, but I've heard you're waterproof. Like you actually don't dissolve in the water, so you might be okay. So the groups are going to happen today at 12:15 for groups 5 and 6. But groups 7 and 8, that's actually going to be at 2:30. So that's in the lunch break. So we're going to kind of leave it with you for groups 7 and 8. If you feel either, you know, you need your siesta, or you know, you're just feeling very stable in your practice, then for you in particular, it's, you can see it as kind of more optional. Yeah, but kind of quite a full day today, and we couldn't fit them in anywhere else. So we put you in the lunch break. So you're really welcome and invited to come, and we can practice speaking and listening together. Really good practice to engage with. Maybe there's things to explore in your practice, but also just know that if it's going to be a bit much, then treat it as if it's optional. So it's a little reminder, something we mentioned in the talk last night, the balloon analogy, yeah? So if you want to, you can keep that balloon inflated, yeah, between different postures into different practices, so that you're able to really support wakefulness through the day without having to make that kind of startup energy each time. Yeah, it can actually, surprisingly enough, be easier if you just keep a little gentle practice going between the postures in the transitions there. And then the other thing we mentioned was the victory lap. Yeah, it actually takes a lot of work to cultivate the qualities of heart and mind that we get to by the end of the meditation period. So it's really worthwhile once you've cultivated something really beautiful, like you're an artist that's just finished painting a beautiful painting. And then just as you apply the last brush strokes, you just pack it up, put it in the cupboard, and never look at it again. So you can just like stay there with that cultivated heart mind, have a little victory lap, and enjoy what it is you've cultivated. Yeah. Because we also want to get to know what it is possible for us to cultivate. Yeah. These experiences are fabricated. What did I do? How did I meet it? How did I apply my experience? And what's here now? Yeah. You can do that through the meditation, but particularly just at the end, just getting a taste of, oh, what did I cultivate here? Such an important insight. Does meditation actually do anything or not? So today, I want to describe some practices we can do around anatta, which is sometimes just called no self, not self, non-self, something like that. I prefer to expand it into bit of a longer phrase, and we would call it the strategy of not self, the strategy of seeing not self, right? Or the recipe of seeing not self. So it's not like we're making a definition. This is the truth. There's no self. You've been lying to yourself all the time about having a self, and you just need to wake up from that. It's not what we're saying. What we're saying is like, what happens if you look at experience with the idea, this is not me, this appearance, experience, Anyway, this isn't me. This isn't mine. This is not myself that I'm seeing here. As a view, right? Just adopt it as a view. Okay? So many times we're worried about, well, is it true or not? The question here is much more, is it useful to see it this way? Does it relieve? Does it bring ease? Does it bring peacefulness? When I adopt it in this moment, yeah? So we could treat it like clothing, yeah? When you got dressed this morning, you don't think, these are the clothes for the rest of my life, and I'm going to wear these in all circumstances. Just wear them now because they're appropriate to the weather that we're having, or whatever. And tomorrow, if it's warmer, I'll wear different clothes, yeah? So in this moment, what happens when I wear this, this lens of seeing, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not myself. Okay? If you want to wear it all the time because you really like it, you can, yeah, but we're not saying you have to. So all of this is actually relying on some of the experiences we've already had. Yeah? So you may not have noticed it because the sense of self is quite subtle, but your sense of self changes when there's more metta, right? When there's more metta, more kindness, more welcoming, more generosity, more softness, all of those kind of qualities, right? There's less tanha, what the Buddha chose to put in the Noble Truths as the co-arising feature of dukkha, what we might call demanding on life, right? When there's metta, there's less demanding, there's less push-pull, right? And when there's less push-pull, there's less of a sense of self. An easy way of describing that is that the push-pull is the mission of the self. Yeah? Oh, I have this mission, this task, this thing I need to do. Right? Soften it. Oh, my mission is kindness. My mission is love. You know, it's really not a mission. It's like, you know, so it doesn't build up the self in the same way. I've got to be kind to all of these people. Get out of my way. I'm too busy. You know? It doesn't build up sense of past, future, doesn't build up a sense of mission. So in that moment of metta, when metta is flowing, yeah, it's like difference between metta practice and when metta is flowing. Yeah. So that felt sense of that. Something softens, something loosens, and we see the sense of self drops down a few gears, maybe a lot, yeah, becomes more quiet. In that experience, a few things happen. The phenomena itself can fade, the object which is getting a lot of our attention, that can soften as well. We say the sense of self, the sense of time, but also a sense of delight can rise up, a sense of well-being. So this is interesting that when the experience of the sense of self becomes less, the self feels better. We actually feel better, more ease, more well-being in that experience. Yeah. And it's not so loud, not so coarse, yeah, gross, more subtle, more refined. Does that make sense? So the invitation is, so we can change something. We can be more fluid. Yeah. Often we'll think ourselves fixed. Yeah. So even as we become more fluid, say, that's who I really am. I'm really the fluid, relaxed kind of being. There's something kind of amusing you can check in with yourself. It's like, how fluid and loose and undefinable can I be and still be absolutely sure that's who I am? Yeah. So it's just part of the feature of experience. Sometimes in psychology, it's called naive realism. Yes, that sense is like, this is me. This is me. This is what I think, even though it's not what I thought just a minute ago. But absolutely, I've always been like this. So if you ever find yourself making sentences, I'm always on time, you know, right? No. Okay, but it's fine that we'll see it that way. And then that too, it's not me, not mine. Oh, yeah. Another layer of softening is available for us. It's important that there's some degree of conviction when we say not me, not mine. We do mean it, yeah. But we also understand it's a view that we're taking on for a sense of freedom. Yeah, so it doesn't have to be true, but we need a little bit of conviction. we might feel, oh, well, this just leaves me like a question mark. So I'm not the body. I'm not the Vedana. I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my perceptions. I'm not consciousness. And it makes sense, actually, to say to all of those things, ah, I'm not. And it just leaves me in this kind of, oh, I don't know what I am. So some of this practice is kind of an acquired taste, yeah. But you can kind of get into it. It's like, oh, a question mark. Okay. Not really quite my thing, but stay with it and you'll see. Maybe you can get familiar with this. Maybe you can get into this. If it doesn't feel right for now, like you don't have to do this practice, just keep on going with the metta practice. It's completely fine with me, and I hope it's completely fine with you. This is kind of freely offered. You can be in no rush to pick up this practice. Yeah. This practice has been around for thousands and thousands of years. If you postpone it for a couple more days or for the next retreat, you know, it's not going to matter. Yeah. But you should also know that, you know, it's been around for a few thousand years. It's gotten quite a lot of five-star reviews. And, you know, it's also gotten a few one-star reviews, of course, as everything has. So, you know, pick for yourself. If you want to do this practice, I think it's really nice. And so, you know, I'm sharing it with you. But if it doesn't feel like the right time, the right place, yeah, you don't have to do it. So we would say, when you look with a skillful, insightful way of looking, you'll see that things fade, yeah, including that sense of self. And we'll see that it sometimes seems kind of just accidental, yeah? Like, we're also really related to all kinds of things, yeah? So you may have noticed that your sense of self is actually different because of the weather today. Yeah, you actually kind of, you feel a bit different about yourself. It seems like an externality, you know, oh, the weather changed. The pressure, the atmospheric pressure has changed, the temperature, I feel different. It's also related and tied up with the Vedana of that experience. Yeah. Oh, I don't like it when it's this. And it builds up something. It's like, oh, yeah, I feel comfortable. I feel familiar with this kind of weather. It's like, oh, yeah, this is my home weather. This is where I come from. It's like, yeah, now it's on my terms. That kind of damp feeling right in the core of my being. Lovely. And it builds up this sense of self, this sense of identification. And then we can bring in these insightful ways of looking to it. This isn't who I am. And I don't need to react this way. I can soften that. And when we soften that, there's less contraction, which is a clear kind of feature of the dukkha experience. Less contraction, less object, and less sense of self. Yeah. So you just notice we're trying to be skillful with the sense of self. Yeah. Not less self, less sense of it. Right? At any point in time, we have a sense of something. Yeah. You have a sense of time. You have a sense of this object. You have a sense of what a thing is. And we also have this sense of myself being here, doing this, practicing. And all of those move through a range. And what we're finding, what we're exploring is like, can I move it to the subtler end, to the quieter end, to the softer end? Because that actually brings us a kind of a peace and an ease and a well-being. Can be really enjoyable to have. Yeah. And so we see that the self quietens in relationship to things, quietens in relationship to the object, in relationship to time, in relationship to everything else. So the question is then, well, could we change the phenomena, the relationship, the appearance, if we actually go directly into quietening down the self? By choosing not to identify with things. Yeah. And we could go down the avenue of finding out what's really true, saying that this sense of self is identified with transient things. Everything that we know that appears is inconstant. Everything that the self could be identified with is inconstant. Can't last. And yet this feeling of myself lasts. Jay Garfield, who's a really great teacher of emptiness, gives this idea, and he says, if you could swap your body for anyone else's body in the world, like who would you swap it for? And he says, I'm going to swap mine for Usain Bolt. Not for a long time, just for, you know, whatever it was, 8 seconds while he runs 100 meters. And I'm just going to be in that body for that 8 seconds. And it's wow. And then I'll come back. You know, it's only going to take you 8 seconds. But he's saying, if you can even do that, who do you think you are? Like, what self can switch bodies like that? And yet we feel like, yeah, you can do that. And the same thing is like, whose mind do you want? You know, he says, I think I'm going to have Stephen Hawking's mind, and it's going to contemplate, you know, whatever, like a parallel universe, or, you know, the moments just after the Big Bang or something like that. Just in there. It's like, wow, this is incredible. But the self kind of goes along with that. It's like, yeah, we can swap out the mind. That seems reasonable. So it's not the body. It's not the mind. What is it? What is this sense of self that's completely willing to say, I am consistent, even if you change body and mind? Yeah. What is it? Mysterious. Feels to be here. Feels useful. Is useful. Yeah. But also is utterly impossible to find. Utterly impossible to define. And so we see that, and we can say, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, and we kind of treat this a bit like, I don't know if anyone here buys books but doesn't read them. You know, they get insights, they're like, oh, that's really interesting. I'll put that next to the other insights that I never use. Right? And we want these insights actually to be like the book we keep on the bedside table. It's like, oh, it's always open. Not self, not me, not mine. Oh, yeah. And so we use just a little noting, right, to alert us, yeah, to what we said yesterday, changing the default settings. So go through advanced settings, click three characteristics, upgrade or update, I can't remember. And it's a little bit buggy that sometimes it just sets back to the default settings again. So you have to keep going in there and updating. So, you know, we'll keep thinking things which are absolutely a Nietzsche. We know it in our hearts. It's like, this will not last, but I really want it for my lasting happiness. Okay. We'll go back to default settings. In the same way, you know, the sense of self, suddenly it's Usain Bolt's body, same sense of self. This is our body now. It will just do that. That's the nature of it. And then we can just drop in there. Yeah, that's not me. It's not mine. It's not myself. It will keep happening, yeah? You could do this practice all of the time, and then you'll go to the dinner queue, and you'll bring your plate, and there's the pots of food. And then you'll see the ladle go into the pot of food. This is everybody's food. And then as soon as it starts to come close to my plate, now it's my food. And if anybody walked up and took food off my plate instead of out of the pots, that would be wrong, because this is my food. It's clearly my food because it's on my plate, which isn't actually my plate. But don't push me on this. And this is my fork. And this is my food. And this is me, my body, digesting this food, which I don't know how it does it, but it, you know. So we add all of this minus onto the experience, which is, it's impossible. It's not my food. And what's more enjoyable is, this is not my food. This is not my fork. This is not my body. Something mysterious, something opens there, something softens in the question mark that remains, yeah? If you want to try it, if it's the right thing for you today, yeah? I mean, absolutely the same thing's happening here in the hall, yeah? If you came into the hall and someone was sitting in your spot, hey, 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 this is I mean, none of it's mine, but it's definitely my spot. It's just funny. It just happens. It just happens. And so we'll revert to the default settings, and at any time we can change them if you want to. Yeah. In a certain sense, we can say things are just happening, yeah, in this view. So it's kind of a bit of a passive view, right? But we're doing it to explore something. It's just happening. Body sensations, just happening. The thoughts, just happening. What's it like if I don't also own them or identify as them? So as a way of looking, how can that be? So we can use this noting, kind of what we refer to as verbal fabrication. And words have a power to them. Yeah? Sure, we've all been affected by words in our lives. Oh, that was really powerful. So we're just going to use this phrase, not me, not mine, or however you want to say it in Hebrew, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's enani, or I don't know exactly how you do it, but you translate it for yourself. It gives that feeling. Yeah. It might be more helpful to add in, it's not just me, it's not just mine. Like with the body, yeah, it's nature's body, but I'm taking care of it. You know, the caretaker of the body. It's not just me and it's not just mine. But if you feel really happy to go the whole way, it's not me, it's not mine. And see what kind of comes into that. It's also a possibility. And so in that spirit of things just happening, they also have that feeling of metta. Yeah. It's not me. It's not mine. Doesn't mean you can't appear. It actually means this can be here, this can remain, and this can pass. And it's not me, not mine, through that whole journey. Okay. So for those who wish to do it, we'll bring it into a practice together and we'll see how it goes, yeah? And then afterwards we'll have time for questions around that. But I think, you know, having put it into practice, we'll be in a better place to question and investigate. Okay. So the meditation, something happened to the sound, right? The sound change? No, sounds okay. All right. So this meditation will be somewhat guided around the body, as that's often the easiest what we call aggregate, location to explore, identification. And we can expand from there to other things. So if the body's not a comfortable place for you to practice, please just, you know, find the sounds or something like that and treat it in a similar way. So just having a few breaths or listening to the sounds as we settle into the posture. It feels like best posture for you at this time. Just feeling there's a body here. Notice. How do you notice that there's a body in your awareness right now? Maybe there's an image, a felt sense, a picture in the mind of what the body looks like. But actually, that's not the body, that's it's an idea. How do you feel? Feel the sensations, some way, this energy of the body is coming from the food. This body made of food. And this energy arising and then disappearing. So it seems the cells of the body, the physicality of the body, also the energy of the body is coming from the breath, from the food. What else? Water. It's really just a natural cycle. It's not me. It's not mine. It's not myself. Just tuning into sense of body here. This body that can grow cells, can treat the waste of dying cells or digestive food, can heal itself. And cuts and wounds. It's also the home of many, many other microorganisms. It's more of a community than a single thing. It's sustaining itself. Not me. And in time, of course, it will also disintegrate, fall apart, return to nature. It's not myself. Whether it's the flowing sensation of the breath, or the more pressure sensation of the body, weight coming through the cushion, all this dynamic, moving, rippling, it's not me, it's not mine. Just happening. Letting the metta feeling be there, kindness, softness. We ease off the identification. Being with the breath, but not identifying with the breath. As you notice this breath, you might notice it might be somewhat pleasant, somewhat unpleasant, somewhere in between. This Vedana of the breath, this definition of pleasant, unpleasant, neither nor. It's not something that's mine. Not really even something I did. Just arose in the context, just happening. Notice it, and also not identify. When we experience the breath, we perceive the breath. Say we make breath out of all of the sensations that are unfolding, this idea of the breath that we perceive. Also just happening. It's not something that's mine. Almost not something we're doing. Forming a breath, sense of a breath, just happens. It's difficult to do with intention, with thoughts. Make a breath, just appears, just perceived. Remembering this isn't an argument, it's not true, it's useful to see this way. That's all we're trying. Can I see it this way? Also the thoughts that are arising, either in response to the practice, just passing through. It's the thoughts that occur, thoughts that appear. These are also not me, not mine, not myself. Just happening, just known. Let in, let to be, let go. Even the knowing of whatever appears in attention just naturally gets known. And then another thing gets known. So knowing is just happening by itself. It's not me. It's not mine. It's not myself. whether we're with the present object or with a distraction, just drop in this. It's not me. It's not my. Invite you. We'll take a little tour through the sense doors of the human experience. Everything in the world that we know comes through the senses. That's the five physical senses, and also the intellect that creates thoughts and emotions. All of them. You can see it, not me, not mine. Anatta. The ear. It's a beautiful physical form. It's interesting shape. Something we made. It's created itself. It's not me. It's not mine. All the sounds that are being met by hearing consciousness. All of those sounds. All of those vibrations. Not me. Not mine. Even our ability to hear, to turn vibrations into words, familiar sounds, for them to be known. Also, not me, not mine. So the form of the ear, whatever the ear hears, and that capacity to hear. All not me, not mine, not myself. Just happening. Coming to the mouth, with the tongue, that whole form, not something we made, not something we could remake. It's a natural part of the body. It's not me, not mine. The flavors we can pick up on the tongue, so not me, not mine, that ability to taste, to know taste, know flavor. It's also not me, not mine. Also the nose, that wonderful form of the nose. Also, there's a lot of nose inside the face as well. The whole smelling organ, really quite big. All of that complex detail, not something we made or could easily remake. Not me, not mine. Any of the aromas we can pick up. So not me, not mine. The ability to perceive smells, to know smells. Also not me, not mine. Same with the eyes, so complex, not me, not mine, the light, the forms that we perceive, also not me, not mine. That ability to turn light into vision, to know sights. It's also not me, not mine. This whole sensitive skin, feeling contact, feeling internal movement, see that it's not me, it's not mine. And all that we sense through touch, rising and passing, it's not me, not mine. This capacity to sense, touch contact, to create a body of sensations, and for them to be known. Also not me, not mine. Also this brain, this intellect, this mysterious, creative organ of the body. So sensitive, subtle. It's also not me. It's not mine. the thoughts, the emotions, the ideas, even paying attention. It's not me, not mine. The capacity to know thinking, know emotions, to know of these, to have the capacity of the sensitivity to create worlds. Also not me, not mine. It's not belong to me. It's not who I am. So this whole sensitive being, through this sensitive body, through all the sensitive processes, that life is just happening. We can let go of identification. So notice how that is, how that affects the sense of self. Sense of the world. So if you wish to, resting in knowing of the breath and sounds with less identification. If it's in any way unpleasant, unfamiliar, to soften with that. And if in any way it's enjoyable, it's nice, you can just allow that to be also letting it in, letting it be, supporting it with kind attention. If it feels right, we can also notice this is also not me, also not mine. I know some of you may be doing your victory laps right now, but I'll just say thank you for your practice. And of course, if it doesn't feel appropriate to have a victory lap, it just felt absolutely horrific, that's also fine. Remember we said, you don't have to do these things, trying them on. So thanks for trying different explorations. And in terms of like extending this, carrying the balloon out into the walking practice, how can we do that? How can we also see, so we still have the body, not me, not mine. Can extend it to maybe you walk in a familiar place. Yeah, it's like this walking path. This is my little walking area. This was not my walking path. You just see it that way. It's like, oh, yeah, it's not. When we've done some walking retreats, we've also, before we've walked into an area, like almost like asking permission. Would it be okay if I come here and do my walking? Like just changing that atmosphere. It's not mine. Yeah, this isn't my walking path. It's not my earth to walk upon. May I walk on you? Grass, gravel path, whatever you are. So that's softening that. It's not me. It's not mine. See what that does. See what that opens up. And it's much more a question. Like we might feel this urge. It's like, well, what is it really? What is it really? So for now, we're just asking some questions, not looking for the final building blocks of experience. Yeah. We can address that a little bit more in the Q&A. But I just feel invited to see the emptiness of walking. I am not walking. What is this? What is a step? What is the feeling of contact of the earth? What is this body? When we say, it's not me, it's not mine, this is not my practice. So you're invited into this space if you enjoy it. And keep the metta going. Keep the samadhi, samatha practices going. Lots of breath, lots of listening to the sounds as the main practice. And then just dropping these kind of insightful ways in for a part of the practice or for alternate the practices. And if they cause a lot of agitation, just a little bit. Yeah. It's like a spice. A little bit of the spice. You don't want a whole bowl of spice. So just finding what's appropriate for you. All right, so we'll have time now for some questions, including we'll have a complaints box. And so anything at all is welcome. And if you feel happy, you're welcome to head out for some walking practice as well. Thank you. Enjoy your day of practice.